Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
And if you weren't here, then make sure you listen to it on the podcast, because it was an awesome word and it was very powerful. Are you, you're already ready? Okay. All right. Just make sure I wasn't going, stepping ahead of myself. So she spoke on perspective, and she basically said that we had to know who we are before we can know whose we are, or know whose we are before we can know who we are. And what saying that meaning, I know growing up, I just thought, okay, I'm going to church because my parents have me going to church. And so I said, yeah, I go to church. But I didn't know who I was because I didn't have a real intimate relationship with God. So once I began to have a relationship with God, then I knew who I was. Then I knew that I was a child of God. I wasn't just going to church just to go to church, but then it was personal and I wanted to know him for myself. So we have to know who we are. So the title of this message, if I needed to title it, is what are you focusing on? Where's your focus? What are you focusing on? One scripture God began to remind me of that Monica spoke about also is, it said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we're going to go to that. That is Psalm 139. And we'll start at verse 13. Verse 13 said, For you created my inner being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full and well. And then God took me to verse 4 of that. So going ahead in chapter 39 and go to verse 4. It says, before the word is on my tongue, Lord, you knew it completely. So before we could even ask anything, God knows what we're getting ready to ask for. And a lot of times we just think that we're just here just because. But God knew exactly who we were going to be. God knew what he was doing when he designed us. A lot of times we think, oh, it's just me and I'm just this way. No, God knew exactly what we were going to be doing. God knew our flaws. He knew what we were going to be dealing with, but we had to allow him to mold us and shape us. God designed us. And it said, he knew the words before they were even on my tongue. So even before you begin to ask God, God, I need this, or God, help me with that, he knows what you're going to ask, but sometimes he wants us to realize that we can't do it by ourselves. And God, I need you to help me. And that's what he began to speak to me when he said, what's your focus? Because if we focus on God instead of what is going on in the natural, then we know everything's going to be all right. Then we know everything is going to be all right. 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We forget that as we're reading the word, we're constantly building our spirit man. And if you're not, I heard it said that you're dying. If you don't feed your fleshly body, then you'll begin to waste away. You're going to get hunger pains. You're going to get aches, and you're going to be like, man, I'm dizzy. I don't have no energy. That's the same way when we with our spirit man. If we're not eating his word, then we begin to get weak. Then we begin to get confused. Then we can't clearly see what is going on around us because we're not feeding our spiritual man. But we have to continue to feed it. So one thing God was reminding me, he said to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but is what is unseen is eternal. You're not going to always see things in, or when you see things in the natural, it's not going to always be what you see. So you could be thinking, God, I'm stuck in the same spot. Well, he has you in that same spot because he's trying to teach you something. And maybe he has you there just so that you can minister to someone right there with you. And we're looking at the picture, trying to figure out what's going on. And a lot of times we're focusing on us. God, why am I here? What's going on with me? He said, if you just stop and you allow me to do what I want to do, allow me to show you a little bit of what's going on. If we just shift our focus to God, then he'll begin to show us the bigger picture. Going to Isaiah 55 and 8. It says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than my thoughts and your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not turn without watering the earth and making it a bud flourish, so that it yields a seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word goes out from my mouth and it will not return empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Our thoughts are not like God's thoughts. A lot of times we're just thinking, man, God, if I could just have this income, and if I could just have this mate, and if I could just have this job right here, then everything will be all right. And we don't realize that by having that income, you're going to have heartache. You're going to have issues. There's going to be confusion. You're going to be contemplating suicide. By having that mate, you're going to be living in turmoil every day. By having this amount of money, you're not going to know what to do with yourself. You're not going to know who's real and who's fake. It reminds me of a few stories. The first one I heard from a pastor, he said that this young girl was a daddy's girl. And she loved her dad so much. And one day he gave her some beads. And because she was little, he gave her plastic beads. And she began to hold on to these beads. And she loved them and she cherished them. And one day he said, can I have those beads I gave you? She said, no, they're mine. I don't want to give them back to you. He said, can I have those beads? And finally she gave them to him. And he, in return, gave her real pearls. But she wanted to hold on to those because those are what she liked. And a lot of times we're holding on to something that's plastic, something that's not real, something that's not what God wants us to have. But if we shift our focus and realize, okay, God, you're taking it. I don't know why, but you're going to take it from me. And okay, God, I give it to you. And as you give it to God, then he can give you those pearls. There was another story that was brought to me, and I share it with Jane because it was so powerful one day. This young man was, you know, getting ready for work. He got up late in the morning, and then he started rushing, trying to hurry up and get ready. And then he went to start his car. His car wouldn't start. Then he said, okay, God, I'm gonna go to work. He got to work, and while he was at work, something else happened. And he's like, man. And then finally he ended up back home and he was like, man, why did all this happen, God? Why did you let all this happen? He said, well, I let you oversleep because I knew you needed that rest. And then I didn't allow your car to start because something else is wrong with it, and I didn't want to blow up on you. And then you got to work and you felt like things weren't going right. I was just stopping you from getting in an accident on the way home. So God's looking out for us, and we may feel like things are not going the way we want it to go. But God is blocking us from some things. He's shielding us from some things. But we have to shift our focus onto God and what God wants us to see. A lot of times us looking out there, we're trying to figure out how this is going to play out. But when we stop and say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to fit, how this is going to work. And you know what? I'm not going to try and figure it out on my own, but I'm going to allow you to show me. And as you surrender and you allow him to show you, let me tell you, it may not make sense, but it'll all fall into place. It'll all fall into place. I want to go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 4. It's one we may have heard before, but it's so powerful. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, what if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So going back to the beginning part, we don't always rejoice. I'm just going to confess, I'm not always joyful. There's some things that frustrate me. There's some things that happen, and I raise my voice to Marquise like, babe, just chill. Just chill. There's some things that happen, and our flesh decides to, okay, how do I react to this? But we have to remember to rejoice always. Okay, God, I don't know what's going on. It's not making sense, but God, you're still worthy. You're still awesome. Things are getting worse and worse, but God, you're still faithful. You're still good. God, maybe you're saying, God, I don't like the job I'm at, but God, I thank you that I have a job. I just worship you. We have to shift our focus. And then we have to remember that it said to present our request to God. A lot of times we forget, but his word just told me I can bring everything to him. He said for me to present my request. So maybe I'm saying, God, I need a new car. Present that request. God, I just need a good pair of shoes because, you know, I've been up on my feet all the time and my feet hurt. God, I'm asking you to move. It doesn't matter how big or how small, but it says in here, to me, I didn't see it say, bring all your big requests or bring the little ones because that's all God could do. No, it said, bring your request to God. And then it said, one thing that we've been doing on Wednesdays and before church on Sundays and Saturdays, we've been praying over this prayer box. In here it said to petition God. A petition means to ask repeatedly. Not saying that, oh God, you can't do it, but I'm going to ask you. No, we're asking faithfully because God, we believe you are going to move. God, we believe that you are going to handle every one of these prayer requests. We've already seen him make a way. He's already worked in Brother Obed's life. He's already touching Sister Jane's eyes. He's already healed my body from the pain I was having in my back. So I know that this is just a beginning of what he's getting ready to do. Pastor Annis had said that she, you know, she prayed and we've been praying for her. And unless I'm wrong, I don't believe she's had any more episodes. So that means her healing is taking place. But we have to believe and we have to know that God's in control. A lot of times we begin to allow doubt to set in because we haven't shifted our focus onto God. And we forget who God said we are. I read it before. We're supposed to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Knowing that God can handle every situation. Then it told us to think on things that are pure and holy. So if I'm watching Scandal, I don't think that's pure and holy. I'm sorry if I offend anyone that may be watching all these different reality TV shows. But you have to stop and think, is that something that I need to be putting in my spirit? Is that something that I need to be feeding my body?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half.
I had a friend that was watching How to Get Away with Murder. And I said, I said, is there something you're trying to tell me? Because there's not a real reason you should be watching something like that. She said, well, no, it's just real interesting. And I said, well, are you trying to figure out how you're going to do it? She's like, no, I just something about it, I just can't stop watching it. I was like, is that something you would want your kids to be watching? Your husband to be watching? She's like, well, no. When I think about it like that, I don't want them watching that. Well, why are you watching it? Because those thoughts set in. They set in. I know before, back in the day, I used to watch I think it's called CSI, yes. I used to watch that show, and then I used to watch Law and Order Special Victims. And so those are some heavy, deep things. And I used to watch them like, oh, it's fine, I'm okay. And then I realized that I knew how to dial my number without even looking at my phone. And I was like, wait a minute, that's good and all, but why am I thinking that I need to be prepared like that? Then different other things started. And I was like, I should be allowing this to come into my spirit. And you say, well, what do you mean? Because when you watch things, it's a gateway. You're letting it come in. And then later, ocean, and let me do this. And let me remember to cover my... You say, oh, I just want to watch these movies because they're so good. Watch some bad movies back in the day and they were doing seances and things. And now I'm like, how in the world was I watching that mess? But it makes you think, I wonder if there's something that I could do to... And I should not be thinking about that. Those are little gateways that we let different things come in and or we let come in and try and make us think different little things. But we're supposed to focus on God. Think about whatever is pure, what is noble, what is praiseworthy. And we don't always think about those things. So we have to continue to allow God to shift our focus, to rearrange our thought process, and help us to put into practice all that we heard him say. So Tanya's going to help me out. I'm going to do this little analogy that I thought was so cool I learned back in the day. She's going to pass out a penny to each one of you. And And I wasn't thinking until last minute. I was like, oh, I should have painted these some kind of color because it would just be awesome to remember. But as you take the penny, I want you to put it up to your eye. Put it up to one of your eyes. Oh, you can give it to me afterwards. Put it up to your eye. And now you can't see anything but that penny out of that one eye. And that's how we seem to think our problems are. They're that big. They're that big to where I can't see anything else. God, look at this problem. God, I'm hurting. Look at this situation. And when you take it off your eye now, you see the real size it is. And that's how our problems look to God. So you hear people say, I'm going to tell my storm or my problem how big my God is. You have to remember that. Instead of coming to your problem, I don't know how I'm going to do this and that, and you're frustrated and you're worrying, keep that penny and remember the God you serve. Remember that he is bigger than anything you could ever think of. Remember that he is bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than anything. And that our problems are that small to God. So there's nothing so small that he just overlooks it and he isn't going to make a way. There's nothing so small that he can't handle it. And there's nothing so big that he can't do it. If he can feed thousands of people, he could heal an issue of blood the lady had for 12 years. He could raise Lazarus from the dead. Why can't he handle our problems today? Why can't he bring healing like we need it? He's opened blinded eyes before, so we're going to believe that he's going to clear up your vision like never before. Because we serve just that big of a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever think or imagine. We have to remember the big God we serve and how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. So in your situation, you have to shift your focus to God. Not to the situation, but say, God, I need you to step in and I need you to handle. I need you to move. I need you to set free. I need you to deliver. I need you to restore, to revive, to repair. And one thing I think we need to do is we need to begin to pray with boldness. Because a lot of times we pray with worry. We pray, but we're still doubting. Because, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. But, God, if you could, just help me pay this bill. No, God, I believe that you are more than able. God, I believe that you can come through. God, that you can handle every situation. We have to have a boldness when we come to God to know that he is more than able. And when we have that boldness, then just know he'll begin to move in every situation. Me and Marquise, we had got behind before on our mortgage, and they were calling. And Marquise, because he's a man of faith, he picked up the phone and they said, well, when can we expect the payment? He said, you know what? I don't have it right now. But when God gives it to me, then I'll give it to you. I'm waiting on God. And they're like, oh, okay. You have to have that boldness to know who you serve, to know whose you are. Like I said before, that my friend's mom had cancer. And she told the doctor, she said, you know what? I'm just waiting to tell my testimony. She said, I can't wait just to tell my testimony. And she went back to after they did the test, and it was in November, and she went back earlier this month. And she went back after she had a surgery and everything, and they're looking at everything. They're like, we can't find the cancer. And she began to worship in that office and jump up and down. She said, you know what? I told you I couldn't wait to tell my testimony. She said, this is the God I serve. While she's sitting in there with her two sisters that are Jehovah's Witness. And they've been looking at her crazy like, what are you talking about? She's like, no, the God I serve is going to heal me. And that's who's going to heal me. And so through the process, they were able to see that. And she wasn't afraid, but she was so excited that she just began to jump for joy. And when she went out, she was praising all the way out. And she's so excited that she's shaking the receptionist's hand. She said, "Thank you, but I will never see you again because I'm cancer free." Because she knows who she serves. Because her focus is on God. The whole time, even I was in the car with Nicole and she had her on speaker and they're just talking. She said, "You know what? I'm not worried about anything, honey. Because God's going to come through. That's why I haven't been stressed from the beginning. Because I know he's going to do it. And I just can't wait." And Nicole's like, "Okay." And she began to get excited because she was like, "Man." She's like, if you're going through all this and you're excited, but God allowed this process to happen so that she could, even her coworkers, like when she finally told her coworkers, "I'm going to be missing more work. I have to get tests done. I'm battling cancer." They're like, "You've been doing with that and you've been here at all these meetings," because she was an executive assistant. So she'd been doing all this different stuff, but she said, "You know what? I have to pull back some. I have some appointments." And they didn't understand what was going on. And so finally she told them that she had cancer. And so now she gets to go back and say, "You know what? I'm cancer free. I'm cancer free." She still had a positive attitude, still was able to do as much as she could. And they were looking at her like, "I don't understand how you're here in such a good attitude." But that's the God we serve. That in spite of what I'm going through, in spite of what's going on, I know that he's faithful. I know that he is able. I know that he's going to heal and set free and renew, and he's going to move in my family's life. Because I know that if he could deliver me, he's going to do it to someone else. If he can heal me, he's going to heal someone else. So those loved ones we've been praying for, maybe they say they know God, or maybe they know of him, but maybe they're a little distant. Continue to pray. Because God's going to do some things this year. Before the end of this year, I believe he's going to begin to move in our situations. He's going to begin to move beyond what we could ever expect. We're going to see those loved ones coming to church faithfully, excited about God, just like you are. You're going to hear that you're completely healed. You're going to see those neighbors that you wanted to come to church, they're going to begin to, who is this God that you're serving? You're so excited. We're going to see transformation, but we have to shift our focus to God. Remember what you're focusing on. So, you know, I think I'm going to collect the pennies at the end so I can paint them, because I want it to stand out. I want it to be different. And I'll give it all to you guys next week. So that when you walk somewhere, when you're going somewhere, you'll have that with you. You could pull it out. You know what? This problem ain't that big. It's not big. I'm going to give it to God and he's going to handle it. We have to remember there's nothing, nothing too hard for him. I'll read this last passage and I'll be done. I'll just go to part of it, but this is after Jesus had fed thousands of people. And he began to tell them that he's going to go away. And that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And some of the disciples, not the 12, but some of the other disciples that were with them, began to go away because they couldn't receive. It's okay, I'm almost dead. They couldn't receive. They couldn't understand what he was saying. And so Jesus began to speak to them. It's not too long. It's only 10 verses. I'm going to read this. It's in John chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 60. It says, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is too hard a teaching. Who can accept it?' Aware of their grumblings about this, Jesus said to them, 'Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before. The spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. Yet there are some who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them didn't believe and who would betray him. So he went on to say, this is why I have told you that no one can come to me unless the Father enables him. From this time, many of his disciples turned their back and no longer followed him. And Jesus turned and said, do you want to leave me too? Do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, I have not chosen you, the 12, yet, or have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is of the devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon, the Iscariot, who through one of the 12 was later would betray him. But I read this because I like what Simon Peter answered him. Lord, to whom shall we go? Your words have eternal life. When you're focusing on God and you know already what he's done, because obviously you know him because you're in this place. And he's already done something in your life. And maybe you say, well, God, you delivered me from my sin and you got me to this point and I'm trying to get closer to you. But I just don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Continue to seek his face. Continue to read your word. Because I don't know about you. If I don't go anywhere else, I'm not going backwards. I'm not going back to that mess I was in. I'm not going back to that lifestyle I was in. Because some people, I have heard them say, well, what if you die and there's no heaven? Well, hey, at least I lived as if there is one, rather than to die like there wasn't and find out at the end, you acted like I wasn't there. But we need to continue to shift our focus onto God and continue to know who we are so then we can know whose we are, or know whose we are so we can know who we are. Remember who it is that saved you. Remember who it is, who it was that delivered you in that midnight hour when you wanted to give up, when there was no one else around you, when you felt like there was no one else you could go to, when no one else understood what you were going through, but the one that got in the situation with you, wrapped his arms around you and loved on you. The one that was there for me when no one else was. When I felt like I couldn't talk to my parents, I couldn't talk to my friends, but he was right there with me. And he said, it's gonna be okay. We have to shift our focus to God and remember that he's in control, amen? I'm gonna stop now before he really makes rain.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be